Speaking on this program is Brother Ken Willis.
Arnold Toynbee was perhaps the foremost historian of the 20th century, and he once made the statement, quote, "Of the 22 civilizations that have appeared in history, 19 of them collapse when they reach the moral state the United States is in now," unquote. And a contemporary of Toynbee, Elton Trueblood, said, "Sexual corruption is one of the chief symptoms of a sick and decaying society. The right ordering of the relation between the sexes is so important to a culture that any culture which fails to deal realistically with the problem is likely to go to pieces. Gross sexual indulgence, such as marked the life of ancient Rome in its later periods, is both the symptoms of general decay and the cause of further decay. The most obvious form that a rotten civilization takes is an absurd emphasis upon sexual pleasure, both in practice and in literature," unquote. Friends, immorality is tearing our nation apart, and immorality is tearing the church apart. Now, I realize it's not a pleasant subject, it's not a popular subject to discuss immorality, to discuss what we're calling today the scarlet sin, but why shouldn't it be discussed? The seventh commandment, written by the very finger of God on stone, was, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." It was discussed by our Lord in the Sermon on the Mount. And when the rich young ruler inquired about eternal life, Jesus gave this commandment, "Thou shalt not commit adultery," first of all in Luke 18, verse 18 through verse 20. And it's impossible for a faithful gospel preacher to be silent on the subject of sexual immorality, to be silent upon issues involved that are so tremendous and so far-reaching. And so the subject demands faithful and fearless treatment. After all, Acts 20, verse 27, a preacher is to make known the whole counsel of God. First, we ask, what is adultery? Well, adultery is a word that comes from the root that means akin to idolatry. And the common definition today is adultery is unlawful sexual relations between two people who are married, but not to each other. Another definition, adultery is a sexual relationship between one single person and a married person. And often in the Bible, the word adultery and fornication is used synonymously. The Hebrew word that's translated adultery covers all forms of moral uncleanness. It forbids all impurity of thought, impurity of desire, impurity of imagination, impurity of word, impurity of the actual deed. It forbids all unchaste actions and gestures. And as we make an effort to define the word adultery, we want to notice that there are four kinds of adultery mentioned in the Bible. As we look at these four kinds, perhaps it can help us to better understand and be on our guard against this sin that it, in Old Testament days, carried with it a capital offense, a capital punishment. The first adultery that's mentioned in the Bible we call physical adultery. In Genesis 2, verse 18, God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make a helpmeet for him." And as he made that helpmate, the verse continues, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man put asunder." In Leviticus 18, verse 20, Moses told the nation of Israel, "Moreover, thou shalt not lie carnally with thy neighbor's wife to defile thyself with her." And then in 2 Samuel 11, verse 4, David committed physical adultery with Uriah's wife, Bathsheba. In Jeremiah 5, verse 7, God said, "How shall I pardon thee for this? Thy children have forsaken me and sworn by them that are no gods. When I had fed them to the full, they then committed adultery and assembled themselves by troops in the harlots' houses." Verse 9 of that same chapter, Jeremiah records, "Shall I not visit for these things, saith the Lord? And shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this?" And coming to the New Testament, the inspired Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 2, recorded, "Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, let every woman have her own husband." And Hebrews 13, verse 3, "Marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge." So there's physical adultery, the actual physical coming together of two people in an illegal, sinful, fleshly relationship. Secondly, there's what the Bible describes, I'm calling mental adultery. Jesus said that adultery and fornication begins in the heart. In Matthew 5, verse 27, "Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, Thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart." So here's mental adultery. And the Apostle Peter spoke of some who had all kinds of sins in their heart. Let's hear his words in 2 Peter 2, verse 14. "Having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, a heart that have exercised with covetous practices," he says they are cursed children. They have eyes full of adultery. So there is mental adultery. And also there is, number three, what we're calling today, legal adultery. And there are multiplied thousands of people who are considered married according to civil law, yet who have no scriptural right to be married according to God's law. Jesus said in Matthew 19, when he was asked, "Can a man put away his wife for every cause?" He answered that question in verse 6 by saying that, "Have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Wherefore there are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder." And in Romans chapter 7, explaining the fact that we are no longer under the law of Moses, but now joined to Christ, he pictures that in the marriage relationship. In Romans 7, verse 2, "For the woman which hath a husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loose from the law of her husband." What he's saying here is that which is often stated in a marriage ceremony, "until death do us part." And Christ said there was only one exception to this law of marriage until death of one partner or the other. And that exception is found in Matthew 19, verse 9. "And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her which is put away, doth commit adultery." And friends, the Bible is very clear, unpleasant to many, but very clear that divorce for any reason other than fornication is not acceptable to God. Well, what should one do when he finds that he's in a sinful relationship? He can't continue to live in that sinful relationship. He must come out of it. And then fourth, as we are looking at the different kinds of adultery mentioned in the Bible, there is spiritual adultery. In Jeremiah 3, verse 9, "And it came to pass through the lightness of her whoredom that she defiled the land and committed adultery with stones and with stocks." That was the people involved in idolatry, and it was spiritual adultery. In Romans 7, verse 4, "Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God." So we're no longer married to the law, but married to Christ. And if we go back to the law, when we go to other things, we're committing spiritual adultery. Paul, in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 2, spoke of the fact that he had been involved in teaching others about how they need to be followers of Christ. And he pictured it as perhaps a midwife or a mother being concerned of her children. Hear his words, "For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." And James says that if we get involved in the things of the world and worldly living, that we can commit adultery with the world. He said in James 4, verse 4, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." Well, this commandment not only forbids adultery and fornication, but this command, "Thou shalt not commit adultery," the scarlet sin, the seventh of the Ten Commandments, also forbids not only adultery and fornication, it forbids rape, it forbids incest, it forbids seduction, it forbids lewdness, it forbids lasciviousness, it forbids sodomy, it forbids polygamy, it forbids whoredom, homosexuality, bestiality, and even pornography. And this scarlet sin is one that's winked at, it's one that's glorified, it's one that's magnified, and yet it's still sin in the sight of God. And there's a curse, friends, that goes along with committing this sin and violating this commandment of God. It was a capital crime in Old Testament days. Leviticus 20, verse 10, Moses wrote, "And the man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, even he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death." Proverbs 6, verse 27, down through verse 29. "Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one go up on hot coals and his feet not be burned? So he that goeth in to his neighbor's wife, whosoever toucheth her, shall not be innocent." Then Proverbs 6:32, "Whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul." And we would close with the words of the inspired apostle in Hebrews 13, verse 4, "Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge." We need to submit ourselves to the obedience of God's will, and then keep ourselves pure, living for the Lord.